You know, most people think music when they hear the word punk, but punk is also about a sort of do-it-yourself DIY lifestyle and aesthetic. Punks in the 90s often made their own clothes, they repaired their own bikes and grew their own vegetables, and made their own magazines. Zines are self-published, handmade magazines, and they're still around today, not so much in handmade form, in a tangible form, but often in online form. And there will be plenty on display this weekend as the fourth annual Atlanta Zine Fest kicks off. This year's theme is digital DIY. Amanda Mills is the organizer of the Atlanta Zine Fest, and she's executive director of Murmur Media. Good morning, Amanda.
Hi, good
Did
morning.
I just pronounce Murmur?
Murmur, yeah.
Murmur
yeah.
Media. So do you remember the first zine you ever read?
Oh, actually, yeah. I was at Criminal Records back when it was in what is now Stratosphere. And my mom would take me there every weekend so that she could look at all the CDs, but I was much more interested in the zines.
And they had, like, oftentimes record stores had big bins full of different zines.
Yeah, I mean, I always had been into reading and writing and would keep a journal, and so I was just, like, naturally drawn to them because they looked so handmade, you know, in somebody's bedroom, which I'm sure they were. And so it sort of opened up like a world of possibility for me to engage in something like that.
So when did you make your first zine?
Immediately. Immediately after finding zines. I was in fifth grade. My mom was a secretary, and she's always been really supportive of any of my interests. And so I would, you know, make little zines at home or with my friends collaboratively, and she would go to work and copy them for us. And she filled that role until, like, I was in college. Just,
well,
like, using her office
mother.
To, yeah, make my zines.
So tell, I mean, for people who have never seen a zine or picked one up, what does a zine look like?
So I guess the most classic zine is a sheet of computer paper folded in half and stapled. And they're normally not more than, you know, you can only fit so many sheets through a staple. So it's basically, like, maybe 10 pages total, folded in half into a little booklet. But a lot of people sort of run with that and can do different sculptural things with folding. And I've even seen, like, letterpress zines. There's a resurgence in art zines, people using zines to distribute their artwork because it's more accessible and cheap, more cheaply done.
So what makes a zine a good zine?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, I try to stay out of those sort of conversations just because I view myself as an organizer, but I certainly have my own opinions.
Well, I mean, you've been reading zines for decades now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, that's true. I feel like, okay, one, I wrote a piece about this on Arts ATL also. I feel like commercialism doesn't have a role in zine making. That's sort of the one, like, line that I'll draw.
So no ads.
No ads. And I do think that with guerrilla marketing nowadays, people turn to zines because they look so cool and are kind of sexy and are a way to maybe get people to pay attention to a certain product without them maybe realizing it, so it's not so overt. But to me, that's completely undoing the purpose of zines. And so, you know, it might look like a zine, but it's not. It's absolutely not.
If
it's a commercial venture.
DIY look.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, I'm kind of saying the opposite because those zines look DIY, but they're not. But they're not. And so it's sort of the aesthetic becomes something that can be capitalized on. And so I think in a classic way, zines look like they were made through collaging or like handwritten or cutting up text, and it's black and white because that's the cheapest way to like photocopy a zine. But then that aesthetic, if it's tethered to the medium too deeply, can be used sort of against it. So to me, furthering the conversation in ways that promote like experimentation and engaging in the media in different ways than are maybe more classic is a way of furthering the media and keeping it alive, because otherwise it can be sort of manipulated.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Amanda Mills, executive director of Murmur Media and organizer of the Atlanta Zine Fest. You don't make any money off of zines.
No, $0.
In fact, it usually costs you
yeah,
at least a little.
Absolutely, yeah.
So why make a zine?
It?
Yeah.
I think, again, I guess I think that like the commercial justification doesn't really have a place in zine making. Sometimes I hear people talk about zines as rough drafts, or they will bring up people such as Comet Bus, Aaron Comet Bus, who has a zine, Comet Bus, that has been turned into a book that you can buy, you know, at a place like Barnes & Noble, and sort of point to that as a possible success. And
that would mean that they're kind of like, you know, when you're walking around and somebody hands you their demo CD. Is
that, right. Yeah. And in that way, it gets framed as like a stepping stone. I don't personally view it that way. It absolutely can be engaged that way. That's not precluded. But I don't think the conversation ends there with zines are just part of a process.
Because some people do it for years,
right,
and years
absolutely.
And years.
Yeah. And, it, you know, to me, it's more about, it's about a myriad things. Like, first of all, I think that every zine is an artifact, and in an archival sense gives a glimpse into that person's lifestyle and opinions that might not otherwise be captured. I think that people who are underrepresented in mainstream media often turn to zines. I think that making a zine is a political act, even if it's about unicorns. It doesn't really matter. The fact that people are engaging in creating something creatively and they're doing it themselves is very empowering. And it's not just creating the actual zine. It's also creating channels of distribution, such as online distros or utilizing message boards or even just passing it out at a party or while you're on tour. You know, it's next to the albums that you're selling. It's also about the conversations and the communities that happen surrounding zines because, like I said, a lot of the content isn't represented in mainstream media. And so it's a way for people to sort of have conversations on a larger scale that they might not otherwise have access to. And that's how it was for me.
So do you think that the digital world has helped make zines better or not? I mean, because I remember walking around LA and that's what the way you were talking about earlier, those little pamphlets, they'd be all over the place.
Right, absolutely.
But now you find zines online.
Yeah.
I mean, and you never touch a piece of paper.
There's a archive called the Queer Zine Project, QZP, and they scan in, or I think you can also scan in yourself and send it to them, any zine that is related to or made by the queer community. And it's available online. And you can also print it out. And that's a really powerful thing because when it comes to marginalized people, there's often a violent effort to erase them. So in this way, it's being captured and, you know, kind of available in a more permanent way online. But it has a relationship still to the printed version, and because it's like these scanned in copies.
Yeah.
When I'm like trying to motivate people to make zines, I always argue that we're constantly creating content, you know, via Facebook and other social media. Blogs are obviously like a relation to zines, even text messages, and to just sort of like mine all of the content that you're already creating. And that's a good place to start when you're making a zine. So in that sense, I think that there's a digital and print relationship there too.
So how many stacks of paper do you have
in
your house?
I know, seriously, like I'm made out of paper. I'm also a like paper hoarder, like little scraps that like friends leave of notes or something like that. I have everything from my whole life.
But when I look, you handed me a schedule of the Atlanta Zine Fest, and this year's is the fourth.
Yes.
This isn't just about writing zines.
No. Yeah, so the Zine Fest has always been organized around supporting, as I said before, the communities and conversations that happen around zines. And a lot of that is about underrepresented voices. It's about alternative media. It's about
doing it yourself.
And also like providing an opportunity for those connections and those networks and collaboration, discussion and learning. So it's kind of like just about making a space that creates that sort of community, more so than just being like, here's a zine, you know, and this is what a zine is.
Our own Emily Jones tweets this: as OST discusses zines, a reminder that my personal idol, Reggie Rocket, had her own. Reggie was a character on Rocket Power, which is Nickelodeon in the 90s.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, before people who've maybe they never even encountered the word zine,
right,
where would they start?
Oh, that's a really good question. I guess I would just start from within. I don't know if that's like the...
Well, would you suggest reading a zine first or writing something?
I would suggest writing something, absolutely. I think that the exposure to zines comes when you put your own zine out into the world. And that's like a really good way to interact with other people's zines. At Zine Fest, bartering is strongly encouraged, you know, bringing in your own stack of zines that you've made and doing it for trade. We operate on like somewhat an alternative to capitalism model, which is, you know, we don't, it's open to the public, anybody can come, we provide supplies, and basically this idea that you can just jump in no matter what, and it's accessible to everyone.
That is Amanda Mills. She is executive director of Murmur Media and organizer of the Atlanta Zine Fest. Amanda, thank you so much.
Thank you.